When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Saturday Draft Live. I'm your host for today, Scott McLeod, and we don't need fancy intros today because, you know, we're just normal men. You know, we're just innocent men. And, you know, once again, my SDL hosts have let me down. Dave, I think at some point today, maybe making his way back from Mexico, if you can remember when the fuck his flight actually is. Jack and Ryan, I really don't want to know what they get up to over weekend. And everyone else seems to be too busy, but it's fine. I let out the call, I opened my window and I yelled, Serenity now! And my co-host came running. It is my tag team partner for this season and my brother, Ross McLeod.
I didn't exactly come running. You wouldn't stop chapping my door until I came and did it. Ross, please, please come do the show. Please.
So it was effective.
Yes, it was effective. It was annoying, but effective.
Ah, that's been my whole life. We'll jump right into the top three of the week. We're coming out of Elimination Chamber. Number eight is a woman who took a loss at Elimination Chamber, but she did appear across Raw and SmackDown, so there's appearance rights there, but you have to think that she'd be a bit higher had her and Finn Balor won as Rhea Ripley, the winner of the 2023 Women's Royal Rumble. Appearing on Raw and appearing on SmackDown last night to confront Charlotte, the build to that feud is really heating up. Yes, I don't know about you, but I have a feeling that for the most part, we'll see quite a few appearance points for Rhea leading into Mania. I don't know how much more she'll wrestle this season.
Yeah, she won't wrestle, I don't think, and I don't think she'll be on both shows anymore. I think with Charlotte Flair and Rey Mysterio both on SmackDown, and obviously Rhea and Dominic with their almost set in stone WrestleMania matches, coming over to SmackDown, I don't think they're going to be there. I think the Judgment Day is going to slowly split up over time. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the start of it. You've got Finn Balor over on Raw, feuding with Edge. The Beth Phoenix storyline is done for now. And you've got, obviously, Charlotte Flair and Rey Mysterio going up against Rhea and Dominic. So, yeah, I think this is going to be the slow breakup of the Judgment Day. I don't see it appearing over both shows. Mm-hmm. And I think it's appearance points only from this point forward.
Well, it's appearance points that go and talk about we need, and they'd really hope for more sides between the two as they have both Charlotte and Rhea Ripley on their team. But now we go to number two, someone who did get a big win at Elimination Chamber and on Monday Night Raw over Edge, A-Town down, her fourth round pick, Austin Theory, with 19 points. He eliminated two people in the chamber, Montez Ward and last defeated Seth Rollins to retain the title, and also with some help from Finn Balor. Defeated Edge on Raw. This is kind of what we were hoping for, Ross, with Austin Theory, you know, carrying that US title into Mania, getting a big win at the Chamber, and hopefully maybe a few more open challenges on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, hopefully more retentions and more points for us. Anything that's more points for us is a positive on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything that's less points for us is a negative, and if you disagree, you're just being spiteful.
Yeah. I should also point out Austin Theory now has 22 points overall and is number 2 in the top 10 overall of the season. Gunther, who is our captain, is actually number 3 with 20. Looking back on it, how are you feeling about the decision to put the title on Walter, captaincy on Walter, because he did get the win over Mankind on SmackDown. Whereas you had to think we've got more points with Theory as the captain being in a pay-per-view title retention.
We maybe should have done it for the first pay-per-view and then moved it to Gunther, because I think Gunther's going to get a big statement win at WrestleMania, whereas the rumours are Austin Theory is going up against John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
I think John Cena might actually win that.
Mm.
And it just depends.
Yeah.
We'll know by the end of the season, but Gunther's going to have some regular title defences and a WrestleMania title defence.
Yeah.
So, you know, he won against... Prior to the Chamber, he won against Madcap, didn't he?
Yeah, it was the Friday before the Chamber.
And then he'd won in a tag match last night. So, absolutely fine with Walter being captain, because he's still picking up points.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, obviously, we got Cena, who's going to show up on the March 6th as a Raw, so there'll be a confrontation you'd expect with him in Theory. Cena's not going to be there too often. Cena's going to be all over Raw, carrying the bill to the match at Mania, so there's points there we found. But number one of the season overall, and number one in the top three, she is the captain, I believe, of Andy and Steven's team, Andy's even the morning, Asuka, with 34 points overall. She's had a dominant show, and I believe three eliminations in the women's chamber, one joint with Carmella, and she got one on Raw this past week, so she's hot on the road to WrestleMania. And, you know, it's hard to look past, you know, Asuka as a solid pick for Cena and Andy, not only as a captain, but, you know, going into Mania with this match against Bianca Belair.
Yeah, I think we're going to see more of the Triple H style booking for Asuka NXT. Asuka from NXT. And I think that's good news for whoever has them on their team. And we've talked about it on Central this past week, the stale reign of Bianca Belair coming to an end.
Yeah, we had more on our thoughts on the Asuka and Bianca potential match. You've listened to me and Ross most recently on Central. Asuka, like I said, top number one in the season overall. Her overall score for the season so far is 56 points. And I just mentioned Theory's number two with 22, so that's quite a gap there that Asuka is making for herself. We go over to the top, the leaderboard overall, top seven. It's a weird one, it's an odd number for these seasons. In last place, a pair of fannies, and that is accurate, Jack and Ryan Dalglish, 34. Ryan Dalglish was coming here spitting all the trash talk to him. Oh, like, I can't see past this. We're going to win. And I don't think they've been moved out of that. I don't think they've been in the top three all season so far.
That tends to be a David Hockney thing when he's not forgetting what day his flight is. He usually comes on and says, oh, you're daft for not picking him, and I've got a foolproof plan. You know, never always foolproof. But, Ryan Dalglish, writing checks at his and Jack's ass can't cash.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that to his face if he bothered to show up.
Yeah. My biggest pet peeve about Dave, and I mentioned this before on fucking draft, like, analysis shows, is when he says somebody's stupid for not picking a certain person that he didn't himself pick.
No.
Number six, Goats Incarnate, on 46 points, going to Tom Rock. There's a bit of a gap between last place and six, so not doing too badly, or going to Tom. I think the spirit would build, like I said before, is what they need, but not doing as well as the Goat would like. Graham McRobbie and Kwakwaji were doing really well. They're near the top of the table, which is more than me giving credit for. Albert Gugrat's 2.0, but now they've moved down to fifth, 49 points. Ryan Gallagher and Chris Lopez, his team name I have forgotten. Sorry, Chris. Don't care, Ryan. 58 points overall. 67 points, Gary and David. They were doing very well as well as the defending champions, Men in a Mission 2.0. Despite the campaign by Jerry Campbell to have a points reduction penalty due to the fact that David Hockney's not in the country.
Well, I think so. Buggering off in the middle of the season. I mean, a lot gets made about me not not appearing on these shows when they've bloody put them on a loved one's birthday.
I know.
But yet he's allowed to disappear and completely neglect his hosting duties for weeks on end. No.
It's not their fault that when we select the season fall in SummerSlam is often when you're on fucking holiday.
Exactly. I'm on holiday at the start of the season, okay? If you're on holiday at the start, that's acceptable.
Aye.
You can't just bugger off halfway through.
Ross, you and I have been climbing up the table. I think we got to fourth after Gunther's retention, third after Faye, and now we're in second with 69 points. Nice.
Don't do that.
I can't help it. But we're hot in the heels of Andy and Steve in the morning. who have 76 points. I don't think me and the other guys gave their team as much credit as we maybe should have, but, you know, we're putting in a hell of a fight here, despite the fact that our 5th and 6th round picks have really let us down.
Yeah, Nicky Cross, that's all on you.
Yeah. We'll come back to that. I need to go to a lot of Listeners League bollocks for a second, so if you need a piss, on you go now.
I mean, there's one good person in the Listeners League, and it's David Collins, who, with his team name Shane O'Mac and Cheese, so I'll defend him to the hilt, but the rest of them, scum, subhuman scum.
Auckland Height, that sounds like a Tory name.
Sounds like a flat.
with Kilmarnock Kiss of, in 5th on 75 points, 76 points. Craig Forsyth, seek help, Craig, with your team name. My uncle never touched me, but Mitch surely did, or whatever the fuck you're called. Ross McLucky, that's literally what his name is. Los Ingobernables de Jamon, 84 points. Ross Brady, the Binger Banger Pro Theory, on 85 points. And the only other person I'll defend in this is Anthony Fitzpatrick, my friend from Rogue Opinions. Dangor is a failed lab experiment on 86 points. As a reference to Louis Dangor, the wrestling journalist, I've seen some of his takes. He does come across as a fanny. Well, looking at this, they also like to kind of put fun at whoever's in last place. On 42 points, the Ginger Snap Elite is the team in last place, because if you're last in the Listeners League, when you get your pick of the lot, you deserve to be called out. We also have the Listeners League team to beat, where me, Dave, Jack and Ryan all select our own Listeners League teams if we were in the Listeners League, and put them against and see how we do compared to everybody else. Now, last week I was actually winning with my Listeners League team to beat, because I was going to be the only one out of the four of us here in SDL that picked Cody as my captain instead of Rhea Ripley. But now I've moved into third, I'm on 89 points, Jack's on 90, Dave's on 95, Ryan, the actual Listeners League winner, and the guy who came up with this idea, did really well when we first did it, is on 84 points. He's doing the worst out of the four of us, so I find him amusing. So, there you go. But I'm really much rooting for Anthony Fitzpatrick at the minute in the Listeners League. But if the Listeners League wasn't complicated enough, as you were told last week, we have the Listeners League Cup, where basically this is for another, giving the Listeners League another chance to get into next season. So we'll have two Listeners League people next season. But if the same person wins the Listeners League and the Listeners League Cup, not only will they end the season, but they'll get the chance to pick first, which I don't think has ever happened in a single season. It has happened for a tag team as Tom Brock's this year's Listeners League competitor. The final 16 was last night, so I'll just quickly go through. Matt Smith defeats Stuart Cowie, 21 points to 12. Ross McLucky defeats Robert fucking Shaw, to get his name right, 31 points to 27. David Collins defeats Elliot Cantona.
Yes.
25 points to 7. An absolute squash.
Yes, a squash match. The Zeke freak groans free.
Mike Angus defeats Mike Nunn. Mike Nunn didn't want Nunn. There's also these different brackets here. The top half of the left hand side is called the Louis Dangor bracket, and the bottom half here of the half is called the Brit Rest bracket. I don't know who came up with this. The top half of the right hand side is called the Old Firm bracket, and the bottom half is called the Ugly Boss Act bracket.
Is that the one you're on?
No. I don't want to be in the Listeners League. Jonathan New here defeats Alan Laurie, 40 points to 32. Elliot May defeats Michael Clotty, 12 points to 10. GP, Dan GP defeats Dan Wood, 14 points to 11. Tom Mack, his name's cut off, I can't read the name, defeats Paddy, I can't see his surname, 26 points to 10.
So Tom beat Paddy.
Aye. There you go, there's your quarterfinals of the Listeners League Cup for the three of you that are interested.
I can't see you taking over the classified results on Sky Sports at the end of the day.
I didn't. But Russ, since we've got some time, let's make it about us for a wee while. We rarely do that. Our team this season, we have Gunther, The New Day, Jamie Hayter, Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, and Nikki Cross. Now, for the most part, when we had our vision of the team, the first four rounds, we got people that we kind of had on our list that we really wanted to get. But you had Haley's birthday. I was kind of, I felt very much on the spot. In hindsight, I'm thinking I should have went for Carmel Hayes. I don't know if he even went drafted in the end. Over Grayson Waller. Nikki Cross, I got to the point where we needed a woman, and honestly, I panicked. That was very much a panic vote here. But we're still number two overall. We've got Jimmy here defending her title in a triple threat match at the upcoming Revolution pay-per-view next weekend. I am fairly confident in Jimmy retaining the title. And then, like I said, we've got, I think after that, Theory and Gunther are our main bets relying for points leading into WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think we kind of buggered it with the New Day as a tag team pick. We thought, yeah, they'll be on both brands. No, they won't. They'll lose on NXT, and I don't even... They were on SmackDown last night, but they weren't teaming together. Kofi beat LA Knight in a singles match.
Yeah.
So that means absolutely nothing to us. They'll probably be in the Battle Royal together, which I will be watching intently for any double eliminations they make. Like, they're together.
It shows how important their NXT tag title reign is to them, because I don't think they've even attempted to get it back from
Gallows. It was just a case of we want to win it so we can say we won it. But yeah.
And so Booker T can win it or some commentary.
Yeah, exactly. Old man yells at cloud. But anyway, ironically enough, we talk about the February pay-per-views on the road to WrestleMania, and we talk about how no titles are changing hands unless there's a marquee match to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason Brock Lesnar winning the title from Kevin Owens and The Rock winning from Kurt Angle all the way back in 2001 stand out, because they don't happen very often. And we backed, would you call it, we backed Grayson Waller to take the title in the pre-WrestleMania show, which was also a bit stupid of us because we didn't get points for it either way, as well.
I think everybody in the season thought that Vengeance Day was a weekend later than it actually was. But then again, I think it was just everybody online did seem to also think that Grayson Waller had a strong chance because of the way they did the screwy finish with the ropes that usually will then set up this match.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, we're going to keep an eye on what happens with Grayson, because I think the next week or in 2 weeks, they're doing an NXT special called Roadblock, and he's having an episode of the Grayson Waller Effect where he's inviting Shawn Michaels on the show. So I don't know where this is leading. Like, I don't think this is a Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement. Like, he's not coming out for an early morning Saturday of WrestleMania show match for fucking Grayson Waller. Like,
Mr. Morning of WrestleMania.
Mr. Matinee of WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, I don't see him coming out of retirement, but I think there will be... Sean will pick a hand-picked guy to go up against Grayson Waller, and I think we're going to lose more points there, unfortunately. But I'm hoping the New Day can start winning a couple of pointless tag matches on SmackDown, and hopefully we can, you know, going forward, not completely make a fool of ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gunther and Austin Theory are great picks. I have won seasons before, or came runner-up in seasons where it's just one guy pulling, doing all the heavy lifting, having two people doing the heavy lifting, plus a title defence over on AEW. They also have the St. Paddy's Day Bash, which is an episode of Rampage this year, I believe, because St. Paddy's Day is on a Friday this year. And I'm hoping we can maybe get a new women's title match on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's going to take the title off Jimmy here, in which case, no, we don't want a title match.
Yeah.
Maybe save that for after.
I mean, I think the whole triple threat thing, the fact that both Britt and Jamie, as well as Tony and Saraya, who's up three, is also in the match, and it's Ruby Soho. Like, they're both trying to recruit. So I think the whole, like, and outside people like Storm and Britt will squad some shenanigans, which leads to a screwy retention for Jamie here. So I don't think she's going to lose the title this way. I think the real story for that is eventually her and Britt falling out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's smarter to pick Jamie, not only because he's a champion, but because, you know, Britt's the most, you know, the most frequently used woman on TV. And so if she's there, then Jamie's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's become more and more of a case over the last year as the partnership's grown. But I like that we got Gunther in the first round. I think I picked him last year in our WrestleMania season after I took his push for NXT as something more than it was. But really, since the... clearly, I was a year too early. As I've seen, as he's just risen up in value since he came to the main roster. You and I have both had teams where there was one person carrying the load. So like I said, it's good to have... I was hoping for a more even team than we've got, but we've got two people doing the lift, and then that's still something.
That is, yeah, it's certainly something. Plus, David Campbell keeps away from AEW TV A lot of the other people are WWE centric, unless you're Grant, in which case he just picks all AEW all the time. Yeah. But I think that's it's a bit of a bonus for our team when it looks like a surefire title retention. I say that, we thought the New Day was a surefire title retention, so famous last words. But yeah, if we can get two title defences out of her, two title defences out of your third best pick and maybe some wins, that's not exactly a bad goal of it.
Yeah. I think it's just a thing with me, like, more than not, with the exception of like one or two seasons where I had like Miz and Morrison or whatever, I just never have the best luck with tag team picks in my every season.
However, not, and I'm very appreciative that you brought that luck over to me.
Sorry. I mean, actually, the one thing, one of the other times was in the last tag season when I had fucking Jurassic Express. They were sudden all over the place, but I can't have that success right now. But I mean, like you said, some pointless wins on TV. Come on, you got Hit Row there. They can take a few more losses. No one cares about them. Have the New Day beat Hit Row.
Have the New Day beat Hit Row every week and have Michael Cole just get his anger out of the world. I think Michael Cole's just angry at the world. Not Top Dollar, but Top Dollar's there to take the abuse.
It's like in wrestling, Michael Cole on a pole match, if Hit Row be fucking New Day, if Hit Row win, Top Dollar gets 5 minutes with Michael Cole.
I think that'd be a good one.
Look at you cowards. Anyway, I think that's all we can really say about our team, because we talked about it a lot when we talked about Austin Theory and the top three earlier on, and we don't want to drag this out.
No, not at all, not at all. Not grandstanding us here, not like a pair of fannies.
Yeah. Well, with our hot dog and grandstanding out of the way, well, thank you for listening to Saturday Night Live for the week. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, Dave can finally get his arse in gear and get a hosting on, and you can use one of the other fannies to do it with them. And they'll probably be looking ahead to Revolution. We've only got a few handful of picks that will score any real points at Revolution, but all the analysis will be there. Make sure to follow Eat Sleep Super Treat for all updates on the draft and our shows at Super Treat on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Get us on TikTok. Like the Facebook community page, where you get the opportunity to join the listeners league through there. Keep in conversation, comment on our shows or questions. And you can also subscribe to us on all good Android podcasts and sites, Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. You can catch me Saturday Night Live every Saturday. We've got Central, me and Ross, it came out the other day. Usually our feature shows are Tuesday evening. Robbie has a special episode of East Meets West that came out earlier this week, looking at most recent show Battle in the Valley, speculating about where Jay White's going to end up. We talked about Mercedes Moné. And we'll look ahead to the New Japan Cup, which starts on the 5th of March. So,
yes, it's previews, reviews, interviews, and all the news. That's an easy way to put it, Scott.
Well, I'm giving them a flavour. Anyway, I don't come to your shows and, you know.
Fair enough.
unless no one else is available, in which case I do. And now you've done the same for me. Wait, even. And we thank you for listening to this episode of Saturday Night Live. Until next time, when Dave is finally back on the hosting duties, we'll see you then. Sports Social
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.